Hello and welcome to the Journey to a Dream podcast, which is brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. There are many, many others all speaking to people who just love motorsport, especially motorsport here on the Isle of Man. Now, let me just tell you about our guest today. He is very young, first of all, but incredibly talented. That raw talent is clearly there. He was at the MGP for the first time this year, and we are going to see big, big things from this rider in the future.
Hi, my name's Lee Hara. I'm from Northern Ireland, Corrine. I'm 19 years old. I've been on bikes ever since I was like three, but I started racing pit bikes on the tarmac in 2019 and won my first Irish title. And then 2020 is off because of COVID or whatnot. 2021, I think we only got one race because of the COVID again. And then 2022, we came back. I'm a Super Twin and we came third in the championship, in the Super Twin championship in the USBK. And then 2023, we moved up to 600, won the Ulster Supersport Cup Championship in the USBK over here. And then 2024, I started road racing at Cookstown Armoy. Didn't really do much horse race that season. And then 2025, all the roads over here, Cookstown, Tandragee, Armoy and the Manx. And just been going ever since then.
So Lee, then, since you are only 19, you've grown up in an environment where this sport is a passion in the family, presumably.
Yeah, definitely. My dad's been, he's been racing since 2009. I was born in 2006, so I was only 3 years old, and I've been going to the racing ever since he started, really. We were at the racing nearly every weekend with him. Back then, over here, you were nearly away every weekend, racing down south and up north and whatever. So yeah, I've just grown into it, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
And what is that paddock life like when you are a young person who's so enthusiastic about the sport and so wants to be a part of it?
Oh, it was brilliant back then. Everybody always knew I was going to do it. I would always go over to everyone's caravans and stuff, you know, and talk to them with my dad. And they always knew. I would always take my pedal bike and cycle around the paddock, but I'd be doing wheelies around the paddock and going mad around the paddock, you know. So it was great. Everyone's like a big family in the paddock, which is good. So,
and presumably, obviously, your dad had no doubt that this was going to be something that you were going to follow him into. What's his sort of advice and approach been to that?
My dad has been very supportive of me and very helpful towards my racing career. To be honest, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even be racing to this day. So he's always looked after the bikes and took me racing and just everything. Has always been him, to be honest. I'd be lost without him, mate.
And does he still race himself?
No, so when I started racing in 2019, he saw potential in me, you know. So he actually quit so I could start racing.
What does that mean to you?
Oh, it means the world to me, because I think he'd done Tandragee, and then at that point he saw, I won this was my second ever racing tournament. I came third, second and first. And he saw that, and then he just kind of realised, I'll just put everything in delay and see how we get on. And thankfully he did.
And so, Lee, when you were sort of a little bit younger, obviously you mentioned doing motocross and whatever and things like that. What was school like for you? Because I'm getting the sense that obviously bikes were just completely your world. So I just wonder, from a point of view of what it's like sort of having to be forced to sit in a classroom and get through that, what is that like?
Oh, it was, to be honest, it was horrible because all the classes you were just trying to bike riding motorbikes. So when it was time for the motorbikes to come at the weekend, it was just, I think I would actually take a Friday off to get everything ready, you know, off to go. But no, it was tough, sitting in class playing about bikes all day, thinking about riding bikes. It's, you know,
the other side of things, obviously when you are a teenager, obviously you're a slightly older teenager now, though, going out and socializing, going out drinking, how much is that a part of your life?
It's, to be honest, I don't really go in drinking or whatnot. I just rather ride my bike, to be honest. Obviously, if I would go out with my dad and Lewis and stuff, we were at the bikes, and we wanted to, not at the bikes, but, you know, when the bikes were finished, we wanted to go for a pint. We would go out for, one pint maybe, but I'm not really a fan of the, drinking and stuff, you know. I'd rather just go and ride my motorbike.
So what is it? Would you be able to put into words what it is about bikes that have just really sort of captured you?
Everything. It's an escape from reality, to be honest. Once you've hit that helmet on, you've no nothing going on in your mind. It's just completely blank, you know. You're that focused, and I don't know, I just love the speed, and I just love everything about it that comes with it, the challenges, to just everything, you know.
And would you say that in general, aside from bikes, you're the sort of person who likes that adrenaline hit?
Oh, definitely. I love adrenaline, to be honest. I'd do anything for adrenaline.
And how then do you relax and sort of, you know, just rest a little bit? Because this is obviously something that, as we talk about so often, it demands so much from you mentally and physically, but sometimes you do need to switch off.
Well, I have a wee motocross bike still the week, and I'll go every weekend, and then throughout the week I would try to relax, you know, and just reset the mind. But no, I love getting out, and I don't really like relaxing. That's not me, to be honest. Keep going and going.
So then, in terms of getting the bikes ready, I mean, you say that your dad obviously really supports you with that. Are you quite hands-on with the mechanical side of things?
Yeah, me and my dad, so the bikes are down in his garage, and me and him would just span our way them all the time, removing engines, putting engines in, clutches and stuff like that, you know. So when it comes to the bigger work, obviously, like the Aprilia at the minute, there's a major problem with her, so we're going to have to pull the engine out, but we'll be taking the engine to someone to get looked at. Being my dad, yeah, we would just screw away at them all the time, and that's, we just like doing it, you know.
That just sounds like such an incredible bond to have with your dad. Obviously, this shared passion, and you are living and breathing this sport. Just tell us then how the MGP came about, and when you first thought, actually, at such a young age, that that was something that you wanted to do.
So in 2024, I'd won the two road races, and then I remember at Armoy at the end, I was actually talking to Kevin Canley, the Mainz senior winner, and he was saying to us, oh, I'm going to the Mainz here after Armoy, you know. So when we were going home in the van, we were sweating with the Mainz and stuff like that, and I thought, I came round it where the entries opened, and I didn't realise they were open, so I didn't even put in an entry for it. So it wasn't until February someone said to us about it, are you doing the Mainz? And we were like, we're just waiting for the entries to come out. And then they told us that entries were already out, you know. And then we were like, oh, damn it. So we emailed and asked if we could get an entry put in, and she said it'd be very unlikely. But anyway, we got an entry actually put in, and we were put on the reserve list. And then we were asked to send our results and whatnot. And then thankfully, she came back and said, we would like to offer you a spot in the Mainz Grand Prix, so we're turning in Supersport.
What was that day like for you when you got that news?
Oh, I was over the moon, so it was. I thought I wasn't going to get it, to be honest, because of how late it was. I think I put it in February or March, so it was kind of late on, like, the weekend. I missed the first newcomer weekend, so I had it. Once I found out, I had to book a plane over straight away, you know, to go and get my newcomer's lap done, like get the signatures.
At any point, Lee, did somebody say to you, oh, is this something you should be doing when you are so young? Because, I mean, you must surely be one of the youngest people who've set out on the mountain course.
A lot of people said it to me, like, but I just, honestly, I don't try to listen to them, because at the end of the day, it's my dream league, and it's what I want to do. It's what I want to follow, so I just went for it, like, to be honest.
Do you remember telling your dad?
It was actually my dad who told me, to be honest. He had to email him, because I couldn't find the email anywhere. My phone wasn't allowing me to send emails, so he emailed them, and then they emailed him back, and then he told me, so we were over him, to be honest.
Presumably, you'd been over and watched over here before.
Oh, yeah, I was over there, would have been about 2011, and see, to be honest, that was my first ever time over there, and last ever time until the Mainz, sir. I was over for the training days, and I'd done 6 or 7 laps with the instructors, so it was, and then once I got there, I'd done about 20 laps, easy, with experienced riders, like, you know.
And that must be the thing, isn't it? It's sort of following people around, taking on all the different advice and guidance that I'm sure you were given, but ultimately, it's got to be you finding your own path. What was the sort of advice that your dad was giving you about it?
He just said, just take it with a steady head, like, don't be pushing or anything like that, just stay relaxed and calm. But also, when you throw the helmet on, that kind of just goes out in one ear and out the other. But no, I just had to stay calm. The first night I did, I stayed just relaxed and calm, and I'd done a reasonable time, like, from the first night there. I then set, and I just kept building on it and building and building and building. So.
And who did you have with you?
I had my dad, my girlfriend's dad, and then I had Glenn, Lewis, and Danny came over, and that was it. But Gavin left on Wednesday night, so we got there on the first Wednesday to get set up and stuff. I was out on Sunday, and then Gavin, he left on the Wednesday, so it was just me and my dad. But Lewis, Danny got there late Wednesday, I think it was, so. But no, it worked out all right. So then.
And did you have an idea in your head of what you really wanted to achieve for your first time out here?
I didn't set any really goals in my head. You can't set goals, like, but I just wanted to go out and enjoy myself and stay calm. Like, not go out there with a mad head, because it's not really the place to be doing it. So I just stayed calm and went out, and it worked perfect for me because I used to play the PlayStation game all about the TT, and it actually gave me a good like whereabouts of where I'm going. So it was good. Like,
it is amazing how many people say that they use that as a tool, and it is. I mean, it's incredibly realistic, isn't it? When you see the actual shape of the course and the corners and whatever. Was that something you were methodical about learning the names of everywhere, or was it just sort of like an image in your mind?
It was just really an image in my mind, to be honest. It's just like what comes after this corner, what comes after this, and you know, so I just had to visualize all that in my head, and it was good. It worked for me, like, sort of thing.
And you competed, was it in three of the four races, but you didn't start the junior, did you?
Yeah, so actually in the Super Twin race, on the first lap, it was going up Crosby. The bike started running at half power, like she wouldn't rev fully out. When I was going to reach the full potential of the bike set, it would stop halfway and just stay at that revs, and then when I give it another gear, it would do the exact same thing. So, to be honest, I had my hand put up, I was going to pull in at Kurt Michael, and I thought to myself, you know what, I might as well just keep going, and it's my first Mainz Grand Prix race, like, I need to, if I finish this, it'll be even good. So, I managed to finish it with a decent time for what brake horsepower the bike was running at, you know, so I was happy enough. And then in the junior, we couldn't get the problem resolved, so we just had to park her in the van, like.
But then in the senior, what were you, 15th in the senior, was it?
Well, it was originally 14th, but then I think someone that forgot to put their transponder on, so I got demoted back in the 15th, so top 15, like, I was really happy with that.
Absolutely incredible performance. I think you were lapping at over 116 miles an hour, which is just, I mean, it's what some riders who are much older than you can only really dream of. So there is this real natural talent that you have, clearly, and you've taken to the road racing scene in general. I guess the question now, having had a few weeks since MGP 2025, I mean, what is next for you?
I'm going to come back to the Mainz next year, definitely. I want to keep building on it. I want to try make up a few more positions. I want to try being in the top five next year, to be honest. Maybe even more. Yeah, just keep building on it, to be honest.
And you've got the team around you, obviously, including your dad. But the other thing that you always need in this sport is money. Who have you got supporting you that way?
I have a lot of great sponsors. They're all amazing to me. They help me very, very much. And if it wasn't for them, I would not be nowhere near anywhere where I am today. I'm going to mention them, if that's all right.
Absolutely.
So, doorsplusfours.ie. Liquid Gold Irish Whiskey Club, GW Auto Repairs 24-Hour Crane Hire, Parts.Chlorine, Comber Pet Stores, Millen Plumbing and Heating, Leaps and Bounds Inflatable, The Vinyl Touch Chlorine, Barry Boyd, and everyone who just squared in to get me to Mainz this year. Thank you very much.
And how did you go about getting those sponsors, Lee?
Well, some of them actually sponsored my dad. And just continued on with me, you know, and then you just have to ask, really, like, don't you? So we just asked and hope for the best, and thankfully a lot of people have stopped by me for a good few years, really, like, and has helped me massively. If it wasn't for them, like, nowhere, you know.
And that's the thing, isn't it? I think we never can underestimate just what this support means, whether it's a set of tyres or something, you know, a little bit more money or whatever. It just, all goes towards helping you achieve whatever it is. Because presumably you have got an ultimate goal in your mind of what you want to do, but it takes so much money to get there.
Oh, definitely. And can I just add a massive thank you to the Mike Yield Foundation and the Billy Redmayne Memorial Foundation for helping me out with a check. And it was major help towards myself. Like, it just made it far easier. It covered the rent and, you know, some tires. So a big thank you to them too.
And then when you're not racing, I mean, is there a day job that you've got at the moment? What are you doing?
Well, see, to be honest, when I found out I was doing the Mainz, I actually left my job and just put full everything into it. I was going to the gym, I was running. So now I'm getting another job. I think it's, well, I'm on the hunt for another job at the minute because I left my other one to do the Mainz. So.
That just says so much about your commitment to it. What sort of thing would you be looking for?
I don't know yet. I just need to figure that out as I go along, you know. There's plenty of jobs around where I live, like, but it's just what I want to do. But I'll find something to do.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it, when you're trying to fit in everything else. I mean, obviously, we're sort of coming to the close of the 2025 season, but 2026 will be here before you know it. And you mentioned going to the gym and running, and that is so important, isn't it? And I guess that's what a lot of people say when they first go around for a lap around the mountain course, is that just how physical it is can take them by surprise sometimes.
Oh, definitely. It's so physical, isn't it? I actually thought people were going to say that to me, but I really underestimated it. But thankfully, I put enough training to get me around it. And thankfully, I did, sir, because it worked perfect for me.
And Lee, if anyone's listening and they're thinking, do you know what? I really want to do this sort of thing. What would be the best piece of advice you could give them?
Just go and do it. Don't ever think about doing it. Put an injury in, and if it gets accepted, just go and do it. You'll just love it. Put it like, it's the best experience ever, and you'll never regret doing it.
And is it all about winning and achieving those top results for you?
Not really. Well, it depends. Obviously, you want to be winning. Everyone wants to win. You know, you don't ever put a helmet on and think, oh, I'm just going to go out here and go and ride it. You always want to win. But as a first year, someone who goes there as a first year, I think it's, I'm not saying it's impossible because it's not, like, people have done it before, but I'm just saying it's tough, like, but in a few years, hopefully I will win it, or, you know, and I'm positive, or I'm hopeful that I can win it, you know.
And where was your favourite part around the course?
My favourite part would have to be up the mountain, you know. It's just, it's what's class, it's just opened up, you know, it's just, I love every part of the course, all of it's amazing, but I would have to say probably the mountain would be my favourite now.
And in terms of you getting race ready, you're on the start line, you're just waiting for that tap on the shoulder. What is your mind like at that point?
Oh, I was going 1,000 miles per hour, to be honest. I don't know, it's racing. But see, once I get that tab, it just, everything goes silent and blank, you know, and then that's me. I'm just in my own little world, I suppose.
Oh, Lee, honestly, it's been so lovely catching up with you. And obviously, the thing nowadays is that you have to be out there on social media and talking about what you're doing. Where can people follow you?
On Facebook, on Instagram. I post on TikToks too. Just my Facebook's Lee Horror Racing 87. Yeah, pretty much that's it.
Really looking forward to seeing you back over here in 2026. You are going to remember when the entries open, though, aren't you?
Oh, I definitely, this time. I won't forget to miss this.
Lee, great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Beth.
Lee Hara. So, fingers crossed for finding the job, Lee, that you want to do over the winter. It must be so difficult when actually all you want to do is be out and about on your bike. But still, can't wait to see him back here on the Isle of Man. That 15th place finish in the senior MGP is just phenomenal for somebody who's so young. The links to his Facebook page are on the podcast page, so please do give him a follow and keep up with how he's doing. Journey to a Dream is brought to you by Kawasaki Insurance, and you can find out more about them by visiting their website. It's kawasaki-insurance.co.uk. We're also, as ever, supported by the Andreas Racing Association, and you can find their link on the podcast page too. And if you'd like to get in touch with me, I'd love to hear from you. BethSB@manxradio.com is the email address, and I'll talk to you again next time.